Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Living the Dream. My name is Christian Ramirez, your host. I know you already know my voice because you love it. I know I missed out last week. I know you missed me, but I'm sorry. But I'm back. I'm back this week. And I got a great guest with me today. I don't know if you remember a couple of weeks back, we talked to Mario, who was driving for Uber and Lyft. And he loved it. So he ended up becoming a good friend of mine. We text, we talk, we make plans. We even had lunch. Or was it dinner? I don't remember. But anyways, that guy is awesome because he introduced me to this guy here. Right in front of me, I have Hector Rivera. Hector Rivera started his own pest control company, and it's going pretty well for him. But we'll get there. For now, we want to hear all of the early stuff. And most of all, I want to welcome you, Hector.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
Awesome. Have you ever done anything like this before?
This is actually my first time doing radio.
Cool, man. How does this feel?
You know, it's interesting. Like the soundproof room. I've actually been to a studio before, but that's for a different story with bands and stuff. That friends, not me singing or anything like that. But yeah, I've been to a studio before.
Oh, cool. All right. So you feel a little comfortable.
Yeah.
All right. Cool, man. So just to let you know, on this show, we kind of just talk about your work history from your first job to your worst job to now.
Okay.
It's kind of like starting at the bottom of your resume and working our way up.
Started from the bottom and we're here.
So, exactly.
Yeah.
So let's get started. Hector, okay. What was your first job?
Okay, my first job ever, I guess we'll have to go back to my freshman year, entering my freshman year in high school. I was in a summer program in William Workman High in City of Industry, and I worked doing custodial work, believe it or not. Obviously something very different, but it was good to get into making a little bit of money in summer to buy my school clothes, what have you, and just hustle, learn how to start a good work ethic at a young age.
Yeah. How did you like that?
What I enjoyed was getting paid, number one.
Don't we all?
Yeah, it was a dirty job.
How much were you getting paid? Do you remember?
It was minimum wage.
It was. Okay. What was minimum wage at that time?
Oh gosh.
If you remember, like
somewhere between $9 and $10.
Okay.
You know, actually, I'm sorry, maybe $8 and $9.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And but I mean, when you're a kid, I mean,
yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. I would make between $900 to $1,000 every summer, and that was pretty much for all my school clothes.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. So sorry. Then did you like that job? That's what I was wondering.
Yeah. Okay. So I didn't like the job, to be honest.
Yeah.
But what one thing that I did like, I gotta not to pat myself in the back too much, but for age 14. To go to school and then right after walk to my job and do custodial work in summer for weeks at a time till the summer program ended. That's what I enjoyed. I started my just my discipline part in my work ethic at a young age. That's what I did enjoy. And I was already developing like this is worth it.
Yeah.
You know, to earn your income regardless of what it is you're doing.
Yeah. And you said you were 14?
14 years old.
Wow, man.
Yeah.
When I was 14, I was so interested in sports, and sports was the only thing I wanted to do. So that's why I kept my grades at an average C, so I can bail on the field.
C plus, I hope. Yeah. You're in Ohio, maybe C plus.
I tried my best, you know.
It was just slightly above average.
Right? Yeah. Whatever kept me on the field to play football, I was happy.
No, I'm with you on that. You know what? To be honest, in terms of school, it was always enough to get by.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of high school, obviously, when you go to,
you
get serious after you graduate high school or those that get their GED. But I think reality kind of hits there. But, you know, your brain's not fully developed at that age.
I know. They expect so much of us.
Yeah, exactly. So, that was like the first job.
Yeah. And
now, the other question you had, I believe you said the worst job?
Uh-huh. We could jump to that, yeah.
Okay. If we go in order of how many jobs I've had, I don't even, it's more than 10.
It's more than 10, okay.
Yeah.
Pick your favorites.
Okay, yeah. So, my favorite?
And by favorites, I mean the worst, the ones you hated the most.
Okay, so this one I hated only because it was such heavy or such a heavy workload, but I'm grateful for it because it made everything else look so easy. And that was actually doing commercial insulation.
Okay.
And commercial insulation, I mean, for anybody that's done that type of work, which is in the category of, you know, construction, maybe only roofer will top it. And it's just just imagine a day where it's hot, like maybe actually hotter than it is today.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to wear coveralls, a respirator, safety goggles, a hard hat, and you could still sometimes after working a certain amount of time because those filters run out and you're up in harness, you're up in high areas where it's very risky, dangerous. Imagine doing all that and yet you could still kind of see and smell the fumes of these refineries you're working at sometimes. But it was the job I did not like at all, but I always try to find the positive in things.
Yeah.
And what I did enjoy was, number one, don't take anything for granted, because mm-hmm. That was probably like my third or fourth job after graduating from high school, because I didn't want to do college, or at least not for a while.
Yeah.
And I wanted to try different things, so I was doing trades and what have you. So anyways, that was the least favorite because it was just such a heavy job. With those coveralls in particular, in the heat, it adds even more weight, and you can imagine, you know, and you can't drink your water because your water is down there and you're on top of sometimes silos or you know, high places where you just don't have access to your even to your, you know, liquids.
Yeah. And then just for people who don't know, coveralls are like kind of like a plastic suit, right, that just covers your body head to toe?
Good question. There's actually different types of coveralls. So the coveralls that I'm talking about, it's like a cloth, a cotton, because you would reuse them. But yeah, there's plastic ones too. But in particular for this industry, you would have a couple of coveralls that you would use, because it would have to be like a cloth, because some of these pipes that I'm talking about, because in commercial insulation, you do a lot of insulating of pipes, and they're very hot. And they could literally burn you if it's straight skin to the pipe. So you have to wear those coveralls to protect you, along with gloves and like I mentioned, the hard hat, respirator, and safety goggles.
And then also dealing with insulation, there's like fiberglass and stuff in there, right?
That's the other thing.
That's why you wear the mask and everything?
Well, the mask was more for sometimes if you're in a refinery and there's fumes or what have you.
Gotcha.
And for that reason, you get paid. It's for a non... for a trade job, it's a higher paying job because of the risk involved.
But
in terms of the fiberglass, that's more the itch factor. Sometimes it would get in,
right?
You know, because some of the stuff sometimes flies around and gets into your clothing. So the coveralls are made to protect your clothing and get them away from your skin, because it could cause a rash.
My dad is a general contractor, and I've helped him put insulation in. Not even knowing, like, he didn't give me the heads up of how itchy fiberglass can be. And I remember leaving and just being like, oh, come on. And just scratching, you know.
Yeah.
Hated
and sometimes
it.
Even the sound of some of the type of insulation there are. Not so much the fiberglass, but there was this other type of fiberglass. I actually forgot the name of it right now. But it's just the sound it makes as it's like scratching a chalkboard is very all that commercial insulation. Number one, it's you got to know your SDSs and that safety data sheets, and you got to know what you're dealing with, because if it gets on your skin, and also if you bump into asbestos, you got to know how to identify it. You bump into that in that type of industry, and you know, I mean, asbestos, for those that don't know, I mean, that causes cancer.
Yeah.
I mean, you could breathe in one of those vapors one time and it's stuck in your lungs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no real way to remove it.
Yeah.
You know, that's why it's so dangerous. So you'll be trained on that. But that's, again, why I tried it. It was a higher paying trade. And I was like, okay, let me try this. And, you know, maybe 2 or 3 months of it. And I was like, okay, I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm grateful for, like I mentioned, try to find the positive in everything, is that, man, every job since then has been a cakewalk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good. We got to talk a little bit earlier because I just met you today, which is so cool. But you informed me that you also worked at the post office for a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was always told that, you know, the best job that doesn't involve having a degree would be working at the post office. I was told it was easy working in there. It's a great job. So I ended up taking the test and getting, you know, into the post office, which mm-hmm. actually wasn't at least at that time, it wasn't too hard to get in there. It was a memory test. Okay. And you know,
I didn't even know the post office made you take a test.
Well, you know what?
I thought they would just take whoever.
Yeah, take whoever wants to go in. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how it is now, to be honest, because it's more than 10 years ago. But at the time, it was a memory test, and if you do well, if you're one of the best ones, they would call you up for an interview, and you would have a good chance of taking a test. And obviously, even if you don't have a good memory, you could work on improving your memory.
Yeah.
So I did a lot of memory quizzes and to prepare myself for the test. And yeah, so I was there for about 9 months.
Okay. How was that working at the post office? Because I feel like I would just be pulling my hair out of boredom.
It's pretty repetitive. So it is a little boring after a while. What's not boring is just like there's always a rush. A lot of people don't know this, but like the express mail, it's actually been a little more lenient now, where it's like, oh, in 2 days it'll be there. But it used to be guaranteed like 24 hours for a period of time. I was in that time frame when I got hired, when it was like guaranteed 24 hours. And if you would miss an express mail to be shipped out or in, you would get fired. So it was very high stress jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So there was that made it stressful, things like that. But at the same time, it was a great experience because I definitely knew that, this wasn't for me, and I'm going back to school after that.
Did you ever drive for the U.S. Post Office?
Okay, so the U.S. Post Office, that position, the terminology they use, they call them carriers. And no, I did not want to be a carrier. I just heard too many horror stories from the carriers themselves. Mm-hmm. And I was like, they definitely scared me away from going that route. So I was just a clerk. And there's different types of clerks. I was a distribution clerk and once in a while window clerk.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool, man. So what do you... So it sounds like, okay, you've been kind of like around doing a bunch of different things.
Yeah, yeah.
What are you doing now?
Okay, so now this is now my best position because I'm a business owner, entrepreneur.
That's great.
And as you know, my name of my company is Positive Pest Solutions.
Mm-hmm. We can find you at positivepestsolutions.com.
Yes, positivepestsolutions.com. Also Instagram, Positive Pest Solutions, one word.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then tell me a little bit about it.
Okay. So number one, I'll tell you why I chose Positive as the name of the company. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's Positive Pest Solutions, but why Positive, right? I worked for 3 of the 4 largest companies in the industry. Okay. And I've always been one of their top guys in my position, whether it was a service specialist or a technician. I've been a quota breaker like all consistently outside of my first year in the industry because I didn't know what I was doing, to be honest, and I was training to get my license and still building obviously young but still building like my business philosophy and also learning the trade.
Yeah.
And so anyways, once after my first year, I kept improving on it. The first company, which I won't mention, but it's one of the largest companies, I saw a lot of blind spots in the industry once I kind of knew what I was doing. So I ended up moving to a different company that was 100% commercial in the business.
Okay.
For those that are in the business, they could narrow it down to like 2 or 3 companies, you know.
They'll know it.
Everybody else, of course. But when I went to that other company, number one, it took me to another level in terms of my training and also broadened my horizons of like, oh, there was more opportunities to take my talents and pretty much give me more opportunities to work with bigger clients.
Yeah.
And so anyways, I ended up developing a lot of my sales development skills through there. And I was consistently in the top 25 in the region. And so at that point, the only problem was I was working nights.
Oh.
Okay. So in the thing of working nights, although I was promised that I would eventually get a day route.
Yeah.
It was. I found out that, you know, after a couple of years that I kind of got bamboozled, and there was a couple of people in line, a few people in line in front of me. Yeah. And so I decided to make a move and go to at the time, one of the two largest in the industry, and that's when the opportunity grew even further, because now I'm working literally. Because when I was a night person, and I would help break off. I'm sorry, be a quota breaker and help not only meet our sales goals but exceed them. And I got that from just being on the phone. One thing that we didn't mention: I was in the mortgage business for about 2 years.
At the same time?
No. Before I got in this industry, so yeah. A little more than 2 years. I was doing like. Mortgages nationwide, mm-hmm. As a loan officer, and as a credit manager actually for Wells Fargo Financial, which the entity doesn't exist anymore. But anyways, I learned a lot of my communication skills and how to sell things, in terms of and how to introduce a product or service, and the telemarketing, never meeting my clients but still closing deals. So that ended up helping me out when I was at that one. The company that was a night position in the pest control industry. And so anyways, and that's why I was always breaking quotas or what have you. So when I moved to Days, when I actually started working with actually meeting my customers,
This is now the third job, right?
This is now the third company in the industry. Mm-hmm. And so I learned that I'm even, I was able to better present the service and... Or the product, because there's in my line of business it's a double whammy. You have the products, which are the equipment itself, and also the service, which I was able to articulate. And it was just like I learned that I was better even in person than just over the phone and communicating what we had to offer. And so anyways, I was number four in the state in the company before I made my move. Because I was actually, believe it or not, I was actually trying to get promoted.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and so...
Did you go into the pest control, industry knowing that at some point you would want to start your own company?
No.
No.
Okay. I actually got in the industry by accident.
Okay.
Okay, and I'll tell you what I mean by that. So I was... This is before the mortgage, 2007, 2008. 2008. Yeah.
The crisis?
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. So before the recession we had, I had the previous 2 years I had on my resume when I got let go from Wells Fargo Financial, and the office only lasted another year, by the way. But that when I left the mortgage business, it showed on my resume 2 years of sales, pretty much.
Yeah.
And before that, I had 4 years of an exotic pest, and that's for the Department of Agriculture and the Commissioner's Weights and Measures. A lot of some people don't know this. There's a program that the Department of Agriculture has to prevent exotic pests from coming in to protect our agriculture.
Exotic pests?
Yeah, exotic pests.
So what's classified under?
Okay, so I'll just give you one because it could get overwhelming. There's just so many insects out there, and still so many being discovered. The most deadly fruit fly at that time, and I think it still is the Mediterranean fruit fly. Uh-huh. And the reason being is because the Mediterranean fruit fly could not only lay its eggs in any fruit, okay, but when it does put its egg in the fruit, it hatches and it comes out as what's called the larvae, which looks like worms.
Yeah.
So when people open up a fruit, people are like, oh, it's worms. Well, it's actually a larvae.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it could, pupae, which is like a cocoon, and then it comes out a fruit fly.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's programs like that the government has, Department of Agriculture, Commissioner's Weights and Measures, to help prevent that from mm-hmm. happening. And there's actually a four-step program, but that's another story. I don't know if you want to hear about that.
To get into pest control, just because it seems like you know every stage of a fruit fly, do you have to learn, different insects and, how they grow and stuff?
Yeah. You got to learn it's called the life cycle.
Yeah.
So you must know it's the life cycle, particularly if you're in the business of pest control or mm-hmm. Pest management. In my case, I like to call it pest management. And just because it's pest management is covers like the umbrella of all pest elimination, prevention. So I you know, I say pest management. So anyways, you got to know every life process, every life cycle, because there's a certain way to treat every part of the life cycle of the insect you're dealing with.
Yeah. Hey, do animals fall under your umbrella too? Like raccoons and addicts and stuff like that?
Yes and no. Okay. Yes and no. So you got to have what's called a trapping license, because you don't eradicate, you can't kill
the raccoon.
Yeah, the raccoon, they got to be relocated.
Okay.
Okay, now rats and mice.
Kill them.
Kill them. Yeah. Yeah, because they're considered a pest. And just to let everybody know, what's considered a pest is two things. One, it contaminates our food. Mm-hmm. Anything that contaminates our food, because we're on top of the food chain and we like to keep it there, is considered a pest. And anything that carries a disease that is harmful to us, like the bubonic plague, the black, that was caused by rodents. Yeah.
Those little punks.
Yeah. I mean, it could take us all out if we're not careful. Yeah. You know?
Hey, so time flies and we only got a couple minutes left.
Okay.
As a pest control guy, what's like the craziest thing you've seen?
Okay, this might be my craziest story, okay?
Okay.
One of the previous companies I worked for, me and one of my associates, we were called to take care of a restaurant. And pretty much from the time we were walking from it to the building, from the outside, we saw, literally, I've never seen this, the rodents going in and out from the outside.
Oh, uh-huh.
And so I was like, wow, this is going to be bad. And, my associate and I, not say names, we went, as soon as we opened the door, you could smell the droppings and urine. And it was disgusting. We went back to get our respirators, came back in, and it was, okay, when we were going back to walk our respirators, do you see that fish tank that we saw in there? He said there was koi fish in there.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, there was koi fish in there? Okay. But it was empty. Yeah, the rats figured out a way to open it and swim inside and they ate the koi fish.
No way.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
That is disgusting. Rats are excellent swimmers. So long story short, that night was, I don't even know. I can't even tell you how many we killed. You know, it was a disaster. Needless to say, they never paid their bill. And they never reopened again. And they were shut down by the health department at that point.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
So that one takes the cake, you know. There's a little more to the story, but the koi fish kind of...
Yeah.
It's
just that dead koi fish in there.
The dead koi fish, the rats figured out a way to get in the fish tank that was closed.
Smarties.
Yeah.
They're a lot smarter than you
think. You know what? Look up in YouTube circus rats and you'll see how they could be trained too and how intelligent they are. Yeah, it's a little trippy.
Well, Hector, it was great talking to you today, man.
All right, great talking to you.
Yeah, dude. Let's see. PositivePestSolutions.com. You can find you on Instagram as well at Positive Pest Solutions, all one word as well.
Yes.
And through your website, people can email you, contact you.
Yeah. On the website, they could just, there's a section where they could just put first, last name, address, phone number, what's your problem, if you have any comments, and we'll follow up with you.
Awesome, man. Hey, so the last thing I like to do with my guests every episode is I like to ask you just a series of like lightning round questions where you don't really think about it. You just kind of answer them.
Go for it.
All right. Cool, man. So we'll start with the first one. Which would you rather give up, electricity or indoor plumbing?
Electricity.
Electricity, okay. Is double dipping at a party acceptable?
No.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Wars.
Okay. I'm assuming you know Spanish.
Yes.
Okay. There's a question in here that says, say one word in Spanish, but I'm going to just say, can you name three presidents?
Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, Donald Trump.
That's right. Pineapple on pizza?
Yes.
Okay. Do you Instagram your food?
I'm guilty of it.
No, really?
A couple times, but it's not a lot. It's got to be like an amazing meal where I'm like, people has got to know about the rack of lamb and
I'm laughing at you right now. You do not look like the guy that Instagrams his food.
I have probably two or three. But I will say this, they're amazing dishes that I have on my Instagram.
Okay. let's see. Have you ever stolen anything? when you were a kid?
You know what? I gotta say that, like, I remember candy, you know, as a kid, you know, tasting those samples, you know, you could take a gum or what have you and try it out, you know.
Yeah. All right, cool, man. Well, awesome having you.
All right, thank you so
Hector.
Much.
It's been a pleasure. Find Hector again on PositivePestSolutions.com and Instagram at PositivePestSolutions, all one word.
Okay, thank you so much.
Awesome. And thank you, everybody, for listening to Living the Dream. My name is Christian Ramirez. I've been your host. Hopefully, you'll tune in next week. I don't know who my guest is yet, but we'll figure that out later. All right, have a good one.